Chapter 18. Gary Vee's Guide to Public Speaking Without Shitting Your Pants. In this chapter, I talk about punching people in the mouth, how to get away with F-bombs, and sticking to what you know. Fun fact, I did not give my first public speech until 2006, when I was 31 years old. It was at an internet conference. I really didn't know what to expect. But the second I took the stage, my world was never the same. Sometimes I wonder if my real talent is public speaking, not building businesses. I enjoy it almost as much. There may be no greater high for me than that second right before I walk out on stage. It feels like home. It's no secret that I like to hear myself talk. And this gives me the perfect excuse. But I really do tremendously enjoy connecting with my audience. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to speak to so many people on a regular basis. If you've done a good job of building your brand, there is a good chance someone will ask you for an interview or to sit on a panel. And eventually, if you're really good, to host a conference or deliver a keynote address. When this starts happening to you, you'll know you're on your way. It's not only fun, it's lucrative. I love it. I really freaking love it. I hope I can make you love it too, if you were like I was and unaware that it was even in your skill set. Given how many times I'm asked to speak per year and the somewhat, how should I put it, colorful way I tend to express myself, it's no surprise I've gotten a number of questions about public speaking on the show. I hope these answers will help you prepare for your moment in the spotlight.
Hey guys, it's Leo Laporte from This Week in Tech, and I am so excited to be reading the next few questions in the Ask Gary Vee book. I've known Gary for so long. He's kind of my hero, and I'm thrilled to be able to do this. So are you ready? Let's get going. How do you prepare for an important keynote?
This is going to be fun to answer for me for so many reasons, because I think I come at this a little bit different than a lot of people, and thus has probably created some of the events that have happened to me as a public speaker. First and foremost, I don't prepare. And that's just the truth. I'm very improv driven. I let the reaction of the crowd dictate me. I'm very counter puncher, jab, 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 right hook. You know, I let it come to me. I'm not good. There is no PowerPoint in my career. I don't think a whole lot about much of what I'm going to say, but here's what I do prepare for. First and foremost, I have to know who's in the audience. If I do not have the context of who's in the audience, and I don't mean male, female, 20-year-olds or 60-year-olds, I mean what do they do for a living, and what's the number one best thing that could happen to them, right? I love sales conferences because I'm a salesman, right? I know that all my jargon on Facebook, Twitter, all this stuff that we've talked about in this book isn't going to mean anything to them unless they think I'm giving them a key to unlock a sale. So when I'm talking to that kind of audience, I'm always setting up my backstory of being a salesman, right? Baseball cards, lemonade, how I sold it, wine in the wine shop, how I actually built a business on this hyperbole of technology, how I didn't grow up with tech, just like they didn't. So that's how I'll go there. Now, if I'm talking to 16-year-olds, I'm going to talk about, hey, listen, don't worry about the system. I was an F student. I made it okay. But then I also have empathy for the kids that are A and B students, and I talk about the upside of being a number two or a number three or things of that nature. I reverse engineer what the audience's makeup is, and then more importantly, I'm selfish for them. I don't care what I'm going to get off on stage. I want to know that they say to themselves, holy crap, this is one of the few times in my life that I've been to a talk and it brought me value. I laughed. You know, the cursing and the shtick. I always wonder, is that my natural self or am I really planning all this? Even what I'm doing with you guys, I've never been able to really unwind if this is on purpose and on strategy to create air cover for you to really learn, or is it this who I naturally am? I think I need some of my early friends to tell me. But anyway, nonetheless, that's one key thing. Who's in the audience? What's in their best interest? Next, I really focus on the day. If it's March 2017, I know what's going on in March 2017 in the business world, the macroeconomic climate, the micro trends, what's the current state of affairs of all the platforms, and I deploy all this state of the union, what I now call day trading attention, the state of the union of technology and business through the filter of who they are. Finally, it's all about the 10 minutes right before I take the stage. Somewhere around 6 or 7 minutes before, sometimes as close as 3 minutes before, a weird switch goes on. A lot of my fellow speakers or organizers are always weirded out that like 8 or 12 or 15 minutes before the talk, I'm still like, I don't know, barely dressed, like on the phone on like dealing a business, you know, kind of how I just walked into this session. 5 seconds ago, I was dealing with a major business thing, but boom, right in here, it's prime time. So I'm all over the place right before, to the point where a lot of organizers early on in my career were nervous, now that I've got a little bit of a track record, but then somewhere around, I don't know, call it 300 to 600 seconds before I take that stage, I actually get competitive with the audience. And this is where it's weird. I actually feel like I want to fight them. For all the love and empathy and all the, it's only about them, and I'm not there to sell myself or things of that nature, I start pushing in the other direction right before I go on stage, which means that I don't want to pander to them. I'm not going to give them what everybody else gave them. I'm not worried about how they're going to accept what I'm about to deliver. I'm about to deliver it. And they're my competitor in a weird way, even though they're equally my child or my mentee. I have this interesting friction between admiration and respect and empathy to deliver them the best talk of all time. And equally, I'm going to go on stage and punch these motherfuckers in the face, right? It's this kind of really weird intensity. And I feel like I'm a boxer. I feel like I'm about to take the stage, and it's me, one person on stage versus the entire audience. And that gives me the right energy, especially with the way I mentally prepare beforehand, recognizing it's all about them.
How do you get away with so many F-bombs on stage?
The way I answered this on the show and in the book is going to be different than the way I'm about to answer it for you, because, guys, day trading attention, evolving as a human. I've actually put myself in a different mindset around this question in the last 4 to 7 weeks. And here's the answer. Leo, first of all, thanks for asking these questions, internet pioneer. Leo and everybody listening, I don't. I have a fun fact that a lot of you don't know. And D-Rock right now is filming a Daily V, so I want to make sure he's paying attention, because this is getting in the footage. I don't get away with F-bombs. The dirty little secret that so many of you don't know is that my agents at CAA, multiple people around me, public speaking organizations, people that organize the biggest conference in the world, have all spoken to me multiple times that if I stopped cursing, that I easily would be one of the highest paid public speakers in the world. That I would take myself to a totally different level. That I'm missing out on minimum hefty 7 figures a year in conference opportunities because the decision makers are uncomfortable with my potty mouth. And that the answer, really, Leo, is I'm not getting away with it. Now, the reason I think I'm getting away with it in a different context, meaning why are people constantly tweeting or Facebook commenting that they hate cursing, but it's okay when I do it, is because I think about intent. Meaning, guys, I'm not on stage cursing because I'm doing it on purpose and I think it's helping me. As a matter of fact, and this is just black and white, I just said it, it's hurting me. I'm doing it because it's who I am. It's my natural state. It's my truth. I am a kid that grew up heavily influenced by Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, and Chris Rock. I liked it. I listened to those tapes. It's what I liked. And just like anybody, just like some of you say some of my words or market like me now, I was influenced. And if you think that I knew that that's what was going to happen when I took the stage, it caught me by surprise. I don't really remember the first or second time I came off stage and I was really cursing up a storm, but like, where is that coming from? But I'm always committed to being my natural self. And I think the reason I quote unquote get away with it from acceptance from a lot of people is because I think they can taste the authenticity. They can see that it's not forced. We know when people are forcing things. If I wasn't cursing, I think people can feel it. When I've been asked, and by the way, if you're listening to this and you want to hire me, I'm more than capable of doing a keynote without cursing. And when I've been asked, or the hundreds of times that I've been on television where I know I can't do it, you know, it's the 99.3% version of me, not the 101.5% version of me. And so that's just the way it is. I think I get away with it because it's my truth.
I've noticed as a speaker, you rarely use filler words and you hardly ever lose your train of thought on stage or in front of the camera. Can you provide some insight into how you've nurtured your public speaking chops?
I think when it's all said and done, my kids, when they analyze me, will realize that the things that I was good at, A, came naturally to me, and B, I put in a crap load of work. So if you really look back at my life, since 2006, when I kind of hit the scene with Wine Library TV and then public speaking, things of that nature, you know, I've put in a lot of hours. There's a lot of camera hours on YouTube. There's a lot of stage hours. So I just kept honing my skills and getting more used to it. And really, you know, even this book, this is the third time I'm doing it, so it's going to come a little more natural to me than the first time. So I kept honing and honing, honing my skills. There's another thing that I do that I think is grossly underestimated. I'd like to be appreciated for it a little bit more, and more importantly than my own ego, I'd really like for you to listen. So please, please listen to what I'm about to say. I don't talk about things I don't know. When you talk about things that you don't understand or you don't know much about, you start hesitating. You're thinking on the spot. For me to talk about geopolitical issues or pharma concerns or how farmers are dealing with climate change is going to be a place where I will stutter and think and ponder and it won't flow. For me to talk about the thing that I live and breathe, my oxygen, the business world, the tech world, the way I rolled, entrepreneurship, empathy, self-awareness, this book, it's a piece of cake. It's all I know. It's like me asking you to tell me about yourself. You're not going to stutter. You know it. It's ingrained. And I think one of the biggest mistakes that people do on stage and in front of a camera is try to go into lanes that they don't belong in. I stay very, very narrow, but I'm very, very deep. As a matter of fact, the thank you economy, the way I talked about in this book about marketing, kind of that with depth thing, that's me as a person. When I speak, when I'm on, it's going to be about the things I'm on. And more importantly, I've developed even this recently, which is really taking my game to the next level. Early in my career, 06 through 12, 13, when I had a question I didn't really know, I'd navigate. I wouldn't put myself out there. I didn't draw a line in the sand or put a flag in the ground. I navigated. I wouldn't say I dodged it. I navigated. Recently, in the last 12 or 18 months, I've literally gone directly to, you know what? I don't know. That's not something I spend a lot of time on. It's been stunning to watch people respond to that kind of truth, that level of humility when you've got the mic and everybody's looking at you. And what it's also done is it's made everything else that I've talked about more impactful.